So, do you know what tonight's conversation is about?
I think men feel like because they put in that work and because they are physically exhausted and tired, that we enjoyed it. Like, that we enjoyed it the whole time. Like, whoo, I really did. It would be like if you painted the whole house.
If I asked you
to paint the whole house green and you picked a different color green that I didn't necessarily like, you still did the job, but you didn't do what I really wanted you to. But because you're tired, you feel like I should be really appreciative of all this work.
I didn't like the fucking house. You seen me open up the paint. You seen me put the first layer on, and you didn't say shit.
Yeah.
So now I did the whole house, and
it's
then
because you already went to Lowe's, and I felt like you'd be disappointed.
Wow, so it's your fault.
Two things can be true at once. It could be my fault that I didn't speak up, and I could still have not have had a pleasurable experience.
That's why people be so... like shocked when you come back and say
it wasn't good. But that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it isn't our responsibility to speak up for ourselves and say it. I'm saying that a lot of women may feel that your ego is tied to your sex, and they're not having a pleasure.
Okay, you know what? I feel like that this conversation is so much more about being right than being better. There's an easy fix here. Before you go to Lowe's, ask me what paint color I want.
Just ask me.
Ace Metaphor. Mike and Keita from the wildly popular, or is it widely popular? What is the saying there? From the wildly, widely popular podcast, Tonight's Conversation, are here on Lovers and Friends to basically do an episode of Tonight's Conversation here on
Lovers and Friends. Lovers and Friends. I'ma take you on a trip, baby. I don't pretend. I said, Lovers and Friends. I'ma hold you down to the end. I said,
hi there, lovers and friends. Welcome to Lovers and Friends, a podcast about sex, love, relationships, and dating, hosted by yours truly, Shambudrim. In this episode, like I said, you are getting a taste of what thousands, tens of thousands, arguably hundreds of thousands, definitely millions, we've talked about the social, but many of you have gotten to experience through the Tonight's Conversation experience, whether that be through on socials, through their app, through their live shows, through the card game. Or if you've had the pleasure of meeting and speaking with any of the wonderful individuals who are part of this project the way that I have gotten to. I got to be a part of one of their live shows, and it was such a eye-opening experience for me and also deeply affirming for me in a decision that I made that I want to share with you all now. This podcast, Lovers and Friends, will be going on an indefinite hiatus at the end of the year. So at the end of December, we're going to be having our last episode. Maybe it'll be for a month. Maybe it'll be for a year. I'm not really quite sure yet, but I would like to share more in depth why I came to this decision with all of you at the end of this episode, because most of you who are here on YouTube are probably here because you want to dive into the episode, and we're going to do just that. But first, can I tell you about this app called Dipsy? This is a free service that helps you get in the mood, and it teaches you new sexy tricks and is thoroughly entertaining. This is your 30-day all-access free trial invitation to get on Dipsy, and I want you to picture this, okay? You're driving home after a long day and you think it would be nice to have some sexy time later when you get home. But if you're honest, after the day that you just had, you don't know how you're going to get into that kind of headspace. So you decide to fire up your Dipsy app and drive home listening to the kind of story that you are now totally excited to recreate later. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories designed by women for women. Dipsy has stories for straight and queer listeners. 56% are voice acted by people of color. And now you can listen to spicy audios from some of your favorite TikTok creators. Plus, Dipsy has soothing sleep stories, wellness sessions, and sexy stories that you can read. And like I said, for listeners of Lovers and Friends, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/lovers. That is 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/lovers. All right, now, here is tonight's conversation.
Hey.
Thank you all. What a joy. We got Ace here.
What's up,
Harry? We got Keita here.
Hi.
And we got Mike here.
Yes.
I want to start by asking each of you what your favorite take or clip is from each other.
Oh,
okay.
Oh. So he has a thing against roses, not like the actual flower, but the toy, the
sex toy.
He feels like it robs real men of draws
of opportunity.
And he said we need to ban roses because every time a rose sings, a real dude loses his wings or something.
A real one loses his wings.
So that's my favorite clip of Mike.
Because you agree or because it's ridiculous?
Ooh. I do not agree. I actually feel like toys in the bedroom is helpful. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you need a partner in crime. And I'm gonna be honest with you. Sometimes I ain't trying to do all the work by myself. It's tough out here. It's tough. You got to gyrate over here. You got to do this over here. You got to stick over there. So you got a toy. And the one time, I tried this little vibrating toy. So I bought it for my lady because I'm thinking it's going to help her out, right? So I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to put it out. So you put it there, and then when you stroking in and out, it hit the top of your shit.
Oh, yeah. This is a deep dive.
So like, I almost like, so she went to work the next day, and I took the shit out myself and went, so.
There's this line of pleasure that we're going to cross.
See, we're not going to do
this. And we're not going to come back. I mean, exploration is real, but the biggest problem they had with Columbus is that he stayed there. Right? You can go exploring, but don't live there. Because now you got people going in their parking lot at work trying to rub one out with their rose.
Come on, Mike.
People are struggling with sex addiction.
No one does that, Mike.
Because, you know what I mean? I watched a woman's dildo journey go from 4 inches and 1 3/4 inch diameter to 8 4, okay? She's taking Subway sandwiches now because nobody told her to relax.
Told her to relax. You're allowed to explore yourself sexually.
Relax,
no.
Yes, but don't stay there.
No, that's your scope
because
of sexuality.
Now you're gonna have to put a thumb in your ass when you use the vibrator because it's not gonna work anymore. Then
and
you're
to
gonna
that
tell
I
me
say
that,
yes,
Mike.
Please.
But then when she goes back to 4 inches, now that becomes new again. That's something different.
Well, when she goes back to the modern man, right? Just any walking human that's
the
not
modern
like,
the modern man is 4 inches.
Well, I read books and that's what the books say in them.
They don't
about six.
About five, four or five,
like depending on the weather, is the same thing.
Are we adding girth or just?
Come on, my name is Mike. I'm a poet from Philly.
Hold on, let me ask you a question. Do you all actually know the actual dick size? I feel like because when people say the size, like I like one that's long and or whatever,
you know
or big
how,
or whatever.
Like, A contractor that's been working at his job for 30 years can kind of eyeball some shit. Like, oh, that's a half centimeter nail.
One girl at our show says
you know how
six was small, and that was crazy.
Yes.
Six might be small compared to the men that you're used to. I have a friend who, right off the gate, lost her virginity with an 8-incher. And she's only had 8 inches for
the
span. Well, it's not a blessing because when you fall in love with a 4-incher, then what? Now you feel like you're being deprived.
Some people
but
prefer
now
a 4-inch and an 8-inch, though, too, because it depends on whether or not you like cervical pleasure. So that's a huge part of it, too. Some people
prefer
smaller.
If it's too big, I don't prefer it to be a huge deal down there. No. Mm.
But it's also a great point, too, the difference between length and girth.
That is.
Yes.
Now, girthy, you never can have too much girth.
Say the word again.
Girth.
Girth.
You don't like the word, but yeah, you
like
use
it.
Moist.
Moist.
You use moist all the time.
I like moist. Moist makes people feel uncomfortable.
I guess so does girth.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, you know, when it comes to, like, masturbation, as far as being in a relationship, do you think that you could masturbate too much? Like, if your husband had to, because my favorite clip, it hasn't came out yet. I hope it does. Mm-hmm. My favorite clip of Ace is when he said that he has to masturbate every day. Now, he's probably going to edit that out because he swears to God he didn't say it, even though everybody in the room heard him.
Yeah,
now,
I did not say that.
Were you there, Mike? Or do you not masturbate every day?
No, I said I like to have a nut a day.
Right.
He if I have sex twice that week or three times that week, then the other days I'm off. I'm doing my own thing.
I'm off.
That's my off day. And let me tell you this. The reason why I feel that way is because... Oh, this is my camera. The reason why I feel that way is I love my own time with myself.
Yes.
It's not in competition with sex with a woman. It's just a different experience with myself.
But you know what? I have different times with myself. Like, I might do gardening, and then I might go on a walk, and then I might go get my nails done. But like, your only time to
with
be.
With yourself, right.
But think about it. Like,
there's 24 hours in a day. You probably take 3 minutes to masturbate.
Five.
No, but I'm sorry. The way the way that he explains this time for himself, he lights a candle. He sets the mood.
Self-care.
Yeah, he does it all. I'm thinking 2-3 hours.
Sinning.
Am I right?
Actually, what I said was I still watch. We were talking about watching porn, and I said I don't like watching porn with the sound on. It makes me feel like weird. I like getting back to the space where I'm not supposed to be doing this. Sometimes I go to a closet, hide in there. Yeah, so like it's a quick thing. But I feel like my self time is equally as important as my time with my partner. And the reason why I say that is when you're spending time with your partner, you're also thinking about pleasing them as well. So in the mind of having sex, I mean, it's about your pleasure, but it's about giving pleasure as well. But when I'm doing it myself, all I got to do is think about myself.
But I guess my question is, if you were in a relationship hypothetically with somebody, you two, where they had to masturbate every single day, like you would walk in the room, masturbate. They would be masturbating. You would go into the laundry room. They'd be masturbating. Like, would that be an issue? Have or you maybe extensive watching of porn?
Okay, hold on. Before we go, have you ever caught me masturbating? See, I'm discreet.
He's in the closet.
Do you?
Just for the record, he's talking to Shanice.
I mean, oh yeah.
The folks can't see you. Okay. His girl's but for the here. Record,
so it's not like you're just sitting there and just you go walk.
No. I'm not talking about you specifically, but I'm saying like, would this be an issue? Because I've heard a lot of women say that they find men watching porn and men masturbating like as a form of cheating. So I want to know like your guys' perspectives on that.
I think me personally. I think it robs the pleasure that you would otherwise get from your partner. You know, if your partner is your only source of personal pleasure, especially sexual, it makes you cherish that relationship just that much more, right? I think a lot of people are trying to act like they're really smarter than what they are. So they've kind of tricked themselves into thinking that, hey, I can do both. I can please myself when I want. I can overindulge in that. And then I'm still going to be sexually available to my partner. But let's say I just finished masturbating 10 minutes ago and my girl comes back and just wants a quickie and now it's not there, who gets robbed? You know what I mean? I'm all for pleasure, right? Like, I mean, life is hard. People got to pay taxes and rent's high, everything. But let's try to focus on another way that's not as nasty. You know, to find pleasure in your day to day.
Can I ask you a question?
But I think you view masturbation as nasty.
Well, no, it's not. You know, I was in the military, right?
Same.
I was on a boat with 300 guys.
Never did that.
Going from Florida.
Yeah.
Right. And it was 300 guys. I'm 18 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And at this point in my life, I had never masturbated. Right. I made it to 18, but I Catholic school, Christian church on the weekends. So there was that little shame towards it. But now I'm in this room, and there's 40 men in a room, three bunks high on bunk beds every night.
Okay.
And that's when I got introduced to the idea that some people are in this thing masturbating. People have, like, magic socks.
Oh, you were traumatized. You couldn't go to sleep because 40 seamen were jacking the fuck off.
We're getting this.
Oh, okay. Right. See, that's why you get deeper and ask questions.
See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. The context is so important.
Let me fight you on a point real quick, though. So where you feel like it would be a hindrance, the masturbation, I feel like it's helpful. Like, we talked about it. The reason why is, let's say we are on a roll, and for the 4 or 5 days, I don't do anything. I'm
That's
too tired.
It serves a purpose.
But then you go back home, and now you're weak. You ain't lasting that long. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like it takes the edge off of me. You know what I'm saying?
We're gonna get back into that debate in a second. But first, can we talk about our gut and how our sponsor Ritual can help you feel more in touch with it? Now, to be clear, sometimes your gut tells you to text your ex. Unfortunately, Symbiotic Plus cannot help you with clarity on that. But if your gut is telling you that it needs a little bit more support, Ritual has your back. They made this 3-in-1 clinically studied prebiotic, probiotic, and postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome. Now, this daily 3-in-1 has 2 clinically studied probiotic strains. It aids in alleviating occasional digestive discomfort, and it fortifies the gut barrier, all encapsulated in a single minty delayed release capsule that doesn't require refrigeration, making it travel friendly. Now, the specially designed capsule ensures the delivery of beneficial ingredients to the colon, promoting optimal gut health. So I am traveling to Turks and Caicos tomorrow to shoot a show, and I promised myself that I would get into the best shape this year for this particular job, which is why I am definitely packing this, because I'm not going to let random bloating cover up all the work that I've been putting in. Look, we are all friends here, and Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. It is time to listen to your gut. Ritual is offering my listeners 30% off during your first month. Visit ritual.com/lovers to start Ritual, or just add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today.
So, well, I challenge anybody that struggles with any overindulgence in anything to see what their discipline is like. You know what I'm saying? Like, see where your semen retention skills are. Because a lot of people are struggling with addictions that they claim are just self-pleasure, right? So if it's really not a necessity, if you're really strong enough, I challenge anybody that thinks, oh, I'm not over indulgent, I'm just doing what I want.
Because well, a lot of crackheads would say that I can quit whenever I want, but can you?
No, I think you know, like I'm religious, right? I'm spiritual, the whole thing. And I think that, you know, across religions, they do have this period just for these sorts of things, right? Like, no, regardless of which
okay,
religion.
Okay, if we swapped out masturbation with foot rub, are we still having the same dialogue?
Foot rub to the point
your
of...
Your own, if every day getting okay. a foot rub was something that you did for yourself, would you tell that person that there's deviant or there's any issues with that whatsoever?
No, gosh, no.
So why is this particular part of your body? Why is touching this part of your body a pathway to?
Because he couldn't go to sleep because there was 40 semen jacking off. That is traumatic, Mike.
No. Why this thing? And why? I mean, obviously, outside of its religious beliefs, it's the psychological and social and emotional part to it, right? I feel like people discover that, like. This thing is only supposed to be used for procreation, right? We found pleasure in this thing along the way. So now we just overindulge in something that just so happened to bring us pleasure. And I think that...
Well, are your feet only used for walking? Or do you use them to get touch? Or do you use them to put on some really cool shoes that make
you happy?
You know
what I don't use them for? To take to an establishment and spend $240 to paint them, okay? That's what I don't do. Like, I understand self-care is important, but we... But
are we talking about pedicures now?
Yes, we're talking
okay,
about
let's
pedicures.
Shift.
We shifted. Oh, yeah, that's one thing about Mike. He shifts quickly,
We're going to let you get back to your questions. I do want to say this, though. I love my romantic partner, and I hope that we last a long time, right? But here's the thing. The one thing I am sure is going to always be here with me...
It might not. Pamela might not be there, though.
So what I'm saying is, it ain't never left me down. So my point is, I think that having your own personal relationship with yourself when it comes to exploration of your body is important to me.
It is.
Now, if it gets in the way of you being able to be productive with your spouse, I do understand that, right? So sometimes you need to maybe say, let me take a step back. But for myself, I think it's at a manageable level. Please. What I am saying is... Ideally, I want to have another day. But that's only when I don't have things to do. If I have things to do, I have things to do. If I'm on the road, I'm not doing it. Like, it's not like something I have to do. Oh my God, I got to do it before a show.
Like, I have not.
I don't do that. So there's many times during the month where it's 3, 4, 5 days where I don't orgasm. But if I had the time to.
If you could, you would choose to.
One a day.
Okay.
It doesn't happen every single day.
But if you could, you would.
Yes, absolutely.
If I could, I'd have a slice of cake every day.
I want to say the two ways it's dangerous is one is if it's tied as a coping mechanism. So if every time that you get nervous, you have a desire to masturbate, that's something different. However, but if it's a daily practice of just general wellness, there's nothing else that is going to release DHEA, so you look younger for longer. It lowers your stress levels. It improves your heart health. It allows for better cardiovascular function, so it can actually lead to decreased heart attacks. And if you're doing it novelly, because it sounds like you're having different types of sex with yourself. Sometimes it's in the closet. Sometimes, do you do left hand, right hand? Do you switch it up? Because the problem
is wild.
If you're doing
that
it every day.
Four times the time.
Can you do left hand too?
I mean, I could do all things through Christ who strengthened me. But there was a period where I had an injury to my right hand when I was in my masturbation phase.
Nope.
And I went there. I went lefty. And it was a struggle. But you know, the downsides of masturbation are increased disinterest in otherwise interested sexual people.
It causes
sensitivity issues with the shaft if you don't moisturize, you know, or if you overindulge. It can cause vascular issues as far as, you know, just pain and sensations. You can even develop abrasions on your testicles if you jack too hard and hit your sack.
Right.
You know? No,
he's
because
not
she gave,
lying. I mean, there's a good and bad.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
There's a good and bad to everything.
We advertise good, but we want to give people
But can I give the counterpoint that I wanted to make, too? Because that's actually a very important point.
Sure.
If you are having, whether it's the rose or your hand, if every single day you're masturbating the exact same way, yes, it can lead to problems. Not just in terms of giving yourself micro tears on your penis and constantly, it may be causing pain, but also in making sex less pleasurable because the brain is like
Your brain is not as smart as
if you're walking the same path over and over again. It's like, okay, that path is cleared. So you have to switch it up. So if you are masturbating with candles, you're doing it right because you're adding novelty.
He is.
Okay.
She said that shit. Listen.
I'm trying to be on your side. Okay. I feel like you keep wiggling away from me.
No, because I want to make this obvious before we go to the next question.
I don't realize how
he doesn't want to be Mr. Masturbation.
He doesn't want to be like that.
I just want the internet to know this. I didn't say I masturbate every day. Can I speak to what you were saying?
Because you're not a double upper.
I'm going to speak to what you were saying, though. And I think that's the stick to landing on my point. My point is, I think that you can, for me, it takes the edge off. So if you are a person that struggles with coming too fast or overexcitement, for me, I feel like masturbating before helps me last longer.
Right.
And I think that this is a huge hot take. The difference between duration and consistency. Because men think duration, like I have to last as long as possible. So they take lots of pauses.
Yep.
They switch the positions up a ton.
Makes a terrible, terrible experience.
Tell more.
Mm-hmm. Well, that we don't like that. We also don't like it when you had already came and then you don't know that we know. So you ball the gummy, you ball the penis up into a sphere and you push it in there because you're trying to re-harden yourself. We don't like that either. Listen, don't do that shit. Don't pull it out. And wait a minute, and it just makes the experience, it just hurry up and nut. That's how I feel.
I have thought about this quite some time now. What about a substitute penis?
That's crazy. See, that's the slippery slope.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
Are you saying substitute in the sense of like a dildo, or are you saying another party?
Probably a dildo is more approachable. I'm sorry. We're getting to the 300 semen eventually. But what if, for women, I feel this so much because I might really enjoy a position and you might enjoy it too. And then you want to pull out and take a break or you want to switch it up because you're getting close, but I don't. So if you had a substitution so you could take that break that you need and then continue with the consistency.
But see, A says he doesn't have a problem with that, right? He said that toys are more helpful, whereas Mike is totally against it because he doesn't believe in help.
I'm going to just be completely honest. With myself, I'm getting to a point where I feel like it's just in the bedroom, like the ego is not really, like, it's not
necessary. Like,
you can have it, but then not at the expense of actually being able to experience the pleasure you want to experience.
Okay.
And I think getting to the age I am right now is just like, I'm with whatever makes things the smoothest for you.
Yeah.
But our problem,
neither one of us has to come.
Our problem, I think a lot of men have reported to me, and then when we talk, especially in the live shows, is that these things aren't being verbalized.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about the communication part, and I don't want to gloss over that. The reason why I say that is I don't think that the men I know are myself, speaking for myself, would be opposed to certain things, to trying certain things. But the thing is, do you know that that's what you like? Are you comfortable expressing it? And do you express it? Because oftentimes we hear that men aren't being given the pleasure that they should in the bedroom. But then those men say, well, she's not telling me what to do.
Pardon the interruption, but also excuse my poor manners. Happy Thanksgiving to those in America. Let me tell y'all what I'm thankful for this year. Family, friends, and Lumi whole body deodorant. Why? Because I'm traveling for work, then for pleasure, basically from now till the end of the year, which means an unpredictable schedule. And that extra means I need a dependable deodorant. Let me tell you guys, Lumi is a deodorant like no other. It was created by an OBGYN who discovered BO isn't just an underarm thing. It's an all over body thing. So she developed a pH optimized deodorant that is clinically proven to block odor everywhere, not just on your armpits, but your private areas, your feet, and wherever else you need support. And the best part, no matter where you use it, Lumi is proven to keep working for up to 72 hours. Now, I highly recommend you read the reviews online because for some, this product has been nothing short of a savior. And Lumi Starter Pack is a perfect new way for new customers to get in where they can fit in. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like the mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and it has free shipping. That's a special offer for listeners and lovers and friends. New customers get $5 off their Lumi starter pack with our exclusive code and link. And for a limited time, returning customers can get $5 off their next
next purchase of $30 or more too. All you gotta do is use the code LOVERS at LumiDeodorant.com. That's LumiDeodorant.com. And thank you, Lumi, for making this holiday season smell a whole lot better.
Shouldn't there be more instructions given to that man as to what he needs to do in order to please you?
Now, or do you know how I feel about that? I do feel like communication, instruction, all these things are important, but I feel like the reason why most women don't, and I can speak for myself, is because I feel like the male ego is tied to their sexual performance sometimes. And so if I'm giving you too much instructions or I'm telling you I don't like certain things, you might feel inadequate. It might not make you to have sex.
Who are these men?
Maybe that very immature men.
That's so dangerous.
Certain things like porn will teach you how to. Porn doesn't teach you anything, but porn will show you like all the ups of sex, right? Like, oh, it's exciting. You're ejaculating. You know, you're coming. All this stuff, but nobody talks about like the downs of sex, like the insecurity.
How do you work on like your like body positivity or body confidence when you? But let's say you are a man with a small penis.
Well, the way that I see it, the issue is when you are in love with that small penis man, his penis feels a lot bigger. It does. But I think it's during the arguments and during the vulnerable times where you're like, that's why you got a little dick anyway. Yeah. And then he's like, damn, that's what she's been feeling the whole time. So it kind of erased the fact that you were like, it's beautiful. I love it. You know, your body is amazing. I just started complimenting men. Sounds bad. I didn't think men needed compliments. No man ever said like I need compliments until like my partner, and he was just like, listen, men like compliments. Men like to feel sexy too.
Look at that.
Look at the smile on his face right now.
I love it. I mean, because I've known Keita since like what, 2015, 2016, and like her partner now, it's like you could tell how they're like when I met her, she was one. And now he's here, and now I'm watching this transition of this black woman, and she's just becoming more of a softer lover. And just to see, like, the progression of it over time to, like, coexist in conversation, it's like I'm watching a village being built.
He thinks I'm softer because I don't cuss him out a lot, but she's really calmer
to a black man ever since her boyfriend came around and had her doing life. Gentle Keita.
I hate it.
My favorite take of Keita is any Keita versus Let Go exchange, because she's pro black woman and she's not going for the shit. I love it. Just everything.
Thank you.
I'll see you.
Keita, in the spirit of giving men compliments, you just got a pretty nice one. What's your favorite take of Mike's?
I like when Mike talks about how you don't need all the makeup and you don't need all the outer to feel beautiful or to look beautiful or to be seen and heard. Mike definitely makes women feel seen. He listens. And so I don't have a particular clip that I can say this is my favorite of Mike's, but when Mike speaks, I'm sitting on the stage next to Mike all the time. When Mike speaks, he definitely lets everyone know that he enjoys black women, he loves black women, he stands by black women, and he loves black love, even if, you know, navigating it wasn't the best. I think everybody's had like not so great experiences with love. Yes. But he doesn't let that taint his view on women. And I think that's important, especially with this whole like red pill, blue pill thing going on. Mm-hmm. Like just to hear a man, a black man, uplift women. I love it.
Can I add to that part? When he talks about how women are art.
Yes.
Meaning that you go to art or our museum to look at the art. Not to change it. And it's one of those things that I really appreciate when you talk about it, because, you know, if this is something that you want, you know, put your bid in, make a purchase on it. But if it's not, you can appreciate it for just being beautiful, and you can walk to the next piece. And I think a lot of men get in their head and they say, well, just because I feel like this woman is beautiful, I gotta have her. I have to have sex with her. You don't have to do that. You can just admire her beauty from afar and walk on to something that's better suited to you.
That's why at 2023, 2024, I don't respect anybody that doesn't have the guts to actually say how they like to run their situations. Or if we don't want to run a situation anymore. Like, there was some time ago when men were like, okay, I might have to suffer in silence because I don't want to break this bond of a family. But now it's like, yo, you're free to say, hey, you know what? You're not gonna be shamed as a woman anymore if I want to leave my husband and do my own thing. or if I say, hey, I think I like women now, or, you know, I mean, I don't want to get too deep into it, but that my biggest concern is that with this overabundance of optionality, especially within how partnerships are structured, people are going to get decision fatigue.
I don't think so. I think the very opposite.
Yeah, you made 2 points there. I felt like you were very pro the fact that there are so many options, and so you have no grace for people anymore who are lying or living a lie.
Yes.
But then there's too many options.
Well, no, I mean, it's a gift and a curse. It's like, you know, education has that power because now there's different factions. You know, it was either, listen, I am single or I'm married. And then it was single, married, boyfriend. Now we got single, married, boyfriends, poly, you know, like, but people are going to, it's too much information and people are misinformed. Okay. People are massaged into it without any proper orientation. Like, what do I tell my 13-year-old daughter about dating? I can say, hey, babe, you could be with a girl, you could be with a guy, you could be with a guy and a girl.
Yes.
You could not be with nobody. You could be with everybody.
You should do it all on a Tuesday after dinner and homework.
Because the truth is, none of those details matter. Ooh, none of that matters. Commitment, how you commit doesn't matter. Who you commit to doesn't matter. What you do sexually doesn't matter. It's how you feel. Do you feel safe? Do
you
feel
empowered? If it makes you happy, huh?
Do you feel celebrated? Are you content? Are your boundaries being respected? Is that person's boundaries being respected? So all those other things that we're told are the details that matter actually don't. Are you in a structure that brings out the best in you? And is it possible for the other person to rise to their best because of your union? That's what matters. Everything else is irrelevant details, in my opinion.
Okay. You know, that's you know.
But to be fair, real. Men are pretty cheap. You don't have to do a lot to get the
deal. I'm not cheap anymore.
You used to be?
Cheap. I used to be
cheap. The dick used to be on sale, on a bargain, but now it's
not. Well, no, I was community dick in an impoverished community, so I was just serving my village.
And the argument could be made. You think the dick is easy, but it's just we did our work before you met me.
Ooh.
And so, like, you throwing it because I've already did my work. My reputation stands for itself. I've already put in the work in my life. So when you meet me, you think you're getting it from me easy, but I've influenced you.
Or I don't know shit about your reputation, but you're 6'3".
Listen, penetration.
Penetration
is 90% male effort, you know, anyway. Like, we gotta, like, you're not giving us, you're not doing us a favor by making us fuck y'all. You know what I'm saying? It's 80, like, in its pinnacle pleasure, it's really, a woman is damn near seizuring. I guess I'm not supposed to say that. But, like, the amount of calories burnt, I bet you there's at least a 3-to-1 ratio in the man way.
Yeah, troublesome for me because majority of people who can orgasm from penetration need to be on top. So if you're giving 80% effort and seizures, you're doing something very unique.
Hold on.
My shit's been magical. I should Yelp it.
HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit delivery service. And what that means is they give you the farm fresh pre-proportioned ingredients and pictured step-by-step instructions on how you can then turn your ingredients into a gourmet meal for 2 or 4, depending on your needs. Now, the pro of the meal kit is that you have control over what you're eating because you choose from their 45 weekly recipes, and you also decide how it is cooked. Now, you guys know I'm not very personally into cooking. There's just other activities that I personally enjoy doing more, but just my luck, my 3-year-old is. So I've been compromising and doing HelloFresh Family Cooking Night 3 days a week. This way, they get their family cooking night, and I still get to save the time I would spend shopping and prepping. Plus, HelloFresh is less expensive than grocery shopping and, of course, less expensive than takeout. Lastly, I have to tell you guys about HelloFresh Market, where in the app, you can easily add breakfasts, quick lunches, and snacks all delivered along with your weekly box, making it your potential one-stop shop for feeding your family and yourself. And if that made your ears perk up because you love a good breakfast, listen up even closer. Go to HelloFresh.com/loversfree and use code loversfree for free breakfast for life. That means one breakfast item per box while your subscription is active. That is free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/loversfree with the code loversfree.
That makes sense, though. On top, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So say that again. I missed it.
Majority of people who orgasm from penetration, women do so because they're on top.
Yes.
And that is because the back and forth motion allows for enough friction for their clitoris. So it's another way of the grinding method.
Yes.
And then the control. The control.
She just professionally explained the scoot.
So that's why we do it.
That 80% of the effort is on the penetrator, and that you're also giving crazy amounts of seizure orgasms. That to me doesn't indicate that you're on the bottom a lot. So the math is confusing for me.
I'm not on the bottom a lot. I'm not. No.
You gotta
I've been replaying it, you know? Like, well,
women, listen, from my experience.
And you gotta pay for
them. They're not just volunteering to get on top.
These
new women are different. They're lazy. Different,
and they're more
they're
expensive.
Pillow princesses.
And they shower less.
And everything. Talk about get on top. You ask a woman to get on top, she looks at you crazy.
That's not true. Because like Shan said, she knows how to work her body and she knows what to do to finish.
Right.
So yeah, she's going to get on top.
Is she a new, these new women?
No, what do you mean?
No, these new women?
What are you talking get about?
Get on top. Shit.
No.
Do work during sex?
I think that's just a woman that wants you to finish. Hurry up. Hurry up. You know what I mean? I don't want to do another position. Lord, we already did three. Hurry up. Yeah. See, but we don't tell. Why don't we tell men?
Have you ever had hurry up sex with toxic dick? No.
Absolutely.
So the complacency.
Have you ever had hurry up sex with toxic
like, oh, like, oh my God. Like, oh my God, I don't want to be here. Right, no, that's the nigga that you excited. You lit the candles before he comes over. What I mean is relationship sex is a lot more mid, and we need to
sex is beautiful.
Nah, come on,
relationship
bro.
Sex you is just everything said, I've
you
ever
just
asked
said,
for.
You just said that it's, come on, just hurry up and finish.
No, I said that if she doesn't want to get on top and she doesn't want to experience other positions, it's because she wants you to hurry up and nut and she doesn't want to keep having sex.
But that's what
you.
I'm saying. Why do you ever want your, if relationship sex is way better.
Because it's not good with you. And her and with.
I think you're underestimating the vast number of pillow princesses.
I think and so my point men is feel like because they giving. Put in that work and because they are physically exhausted and tired that we enjoyed it. Like that we enjoyed it the whole time. Like, whoo, I really did. It would be like if you painted the whole house.
Get the fuck
if
out
I
of
asked
here.
You to paint the whole house green and you picked a different color green that I didn't necessarily like, you still did the job. But you didn't do what I really wanted you to. But because you're tired, you feel like I should be really appreciative
seen,
of all this work.
You seen
but
me
I didn't like the fucking
seen,
house.
You seen me open up the paint. You seen me put the
I
first,
seen you. I
first layer on, and you didn't say shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now I did the whole house, and
it's
then
because you already went to Lowe's, and I felt
you
like you'd be disappointed.
Wow, so it's your like, fault.
I felt like you'd be disappointed. It's my fault, but I'm not saying you're. It could be our fault. Two things can be true at once. It could be my fault that I didn't speak up, and I could still have not have had a pleasurable experience.
And I agree. Let me tell you why. It's like now you're letting me know or giving me cues non-verbally that I'm doing a good job.
Yes.
So it now reinforces that, okay, this position or this effort was good. Now,
yeah.
And then that's why niggas be so, people be so shocked. My bad. I'm not trying to cuss on yourself. That's why people be so like shocked when you come back and say
it wasn't good.
It wasn't good.
But that's what I'm saying. I never I'm not saying that it isn't our responsibility to speak up for ourselves and say it. I'm saying that a lot of women may feel that your ego is tied to your sex and they're not having a pleasure.
Okay, you know what I feel like that this conversation is so much more about being right than being better? Because I think that house analogy was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you guys to sit with that. That's an amazing analogy. Mm-hmm. You know, my number one podcast episode is the submissive woman episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that continues to go viral in male communities because men are like, this is the woman that I want. So when we hear perpetually and we're told you want to feel like the man, you want to feel like you're in charge, you want to feel like you're in control. And then the onus is put back on us to have these hard conversations and start them where she's just giving you the keys and saying, look, what you're doing may be effort in the wrong direction. There's an easy fix here. Before you go to Lowe's, ask me what paint color I want.
Just ask me.
Like, just ask.
Let's go together.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, like, but you might have to invite her into the conversation.
Because it's just what you said. It's just how you even opened it up. You've seen me open up the paint. If you see somebody do all this work, a lot of the times you might be like, it's best I just don't. This person already went out their way to go open the paint, to start the paint, to do all this. Let me just, you know.
And their chest is high right now. They're feeling good about
themselves. They feel good about it. You hear them say, oh, look how much work I've put in. Look at this. I've done this. And you're just like, okay, it's not too much sweat off your back. Off the woman's back. Like I told you, I was in a relationship where I literally looked at other things that he did right and kind of just like ignored the sex portion of it. It wasn't
the best. I think it happens though. I mean, I can't speak for all men, but I think it happens. I think that there are, you know, sex conversations that happen prior to you getting hot and heavy in the bedroom. You know what I'm saying? It could be, hey, what do you like? What, you know, we ask those general questions.
See,
and we get
like that for me.
We get answers like, hey, do you like this? What's your favorite position? What's this? Do you like
fast,
slow?
I've never had a man, except for my current partner, ask me that. my current partner. I've never had a man be like, so what do you like? They've always, they put it down and I either like it or don't. And if I don't like it, I usually, now I'm more keen to being like, hey, listen, I didn't like that. But back in the day when I was like a little younger, I would not tell them that I didn't like it. I wouldn't say anything. I just wouldn't have sex with them again. I'm like,
now,
unless we're in a relationship.
To go further what I was saying though, even if you had those conversations, you know, it is going to be, let's try it. Let's have sex. And then afterwards it has to be, hey, when you did this, I didn't really like it. Or when you did this, this was amazing. Do more of that. And I think that we both have to have the responsibility for our own pleasure. And what I mean by that is, hear what I'm saying. I'm saying I have to be responsible for making sure that I verbalize what I like in a bedroom.
Yes.
Because ultimately, if I don't, I'm going to be the one displeased. To now make that responsibility more heavily on your partner, to me, it's unfair.
It's unfair.
So I'm like, if you're not having a great experience, just verbalize it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
But if you're aware of the hurdles that women have to get over to in order to have that conversation with you, and you already know she wants to have it, and you're the men who are the leaders, right? Because you guys are privy to this information. Shit. You are the leaders.
Have you met these new women?
Oh my goodness. Well, some of the partners,
partners. So I just want to know that you're like listening and nodding and saying yes, and then I will pass out this information to the rest. Yeah. I will pass it on to the other dudes that I play pickup with. I will tell them, hey, have you ever tried asking her? And encourage her. A big part of being on top that women have a problem with, you're on display, it's very vulnerable. So if someone isn't telling you, your breasts are amazing, your vagina smells incredible. I love the touch of your skin. I love looking at you. Like, it's a very vulnerable position. It goes a long way.
Yeah, I used to not tell her to put the hands on your knees when she's on top.
So that she can get that arch that she needs, rub the clitoris. So like, and then tell her, don't worry about me. Because sometimes when we're on top doing what we like, you may not be liking it.
You don't like it.
You want the up and down.
You want the up and down. We want the back and forth. Then you say, what did you say? Oh, he says it all the time. Oh, he gets that mic. It bends my shit. He says it bends his penis back and forth and it hurts.
Hold it down at the base then. Hold it down at the base. Help her out. And then you can use your other finger to give some clip action.
Okay, right.
And tell her as long as it takes.
I'm going to send the clip to you. Don't worry. We're going to make it a clip. Clip this part, y'all.
Reverse cowgirl is the best
Because dudes always say that it's her pleasure that matters until we have the conversation, the mechanics, then you don't want
to
do it.
No, so I guess to piggyback, I'm just speaking for myself and men like me. I am open to whatever, and I'm open to ask conversation or have conversations and say, hey, what do you like? I'm open to that, right? But then I'm also open to receiving as well, right? So, like, you know, a lot of times you don't see the need for improvement because you think in your head things are going well. So I think that there are people in this space where you may have had an adjustment 2 years ago and you've been thinking sex has been going well. But if you start to realize, okay, this is not meeting my expectation, you can't assume the other person is not thinking that you're having pleasure. So that's why I said you got to go to that person. And then it's about, let's just talk about it. I don't want to open it up, but it is about the partner you choose. I think you have to choose somebody that's open to criticism, whether it's in the bedroom or outside of the bedroom, because without that, then how can you really build successful relationships?
But how do you think someone gets open to criticism? Like, are people
a friendship? A friendship.
I think friendship. It has to start that way. Like, I think it has to start with being able to talk to each other about things that you're not necessarily most pleased with in and out the bedroom, and without being accusatory, without trying to make that person feel like they shit, and then that person actually making those adjustments or making an effort to those adjustments. And if both parties does that, then now when you're having conversation, it doesn't feel like somebody is trying to attack you. It's just really like, we're trying to fix
this. You know that they're not coming from like a malicious place.
But because we all, and you know my biggest thing, I'm avoiding. Like, we sometimes avoid issues until it gets so big that now it's, you know what I'm saying, a mountain that you got to deal with instead of just sweeping it while you
accumulate. That's how I feel. I feel like we don't have the conversation. Mm-hmm. It turns into this big thing, and then it's just we're sexually incompatible. We're done.
And then, because then if it gets to that point, now I'm self-conscious about it.
Yeah.
Instead of it being an adjustment, even in the moment, like, for real, oh, no, stay right here. Like, that's not a big conversation. I ain't have to sit you down at the table for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you don't tell me that you keep it right there, I might flip you.
Again, for me, I don't think that the pinnacle sexual highlight for me is the orgasm. Like, I'm just grateful to be inside. Just, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, I mean, I'm a poet, right? And I'm spiritual. I believe all of the stuff that I say. I think it comes off.
I swear to God, he do.
But for me, it's like, you know, I'm listening to this conversation, and now we've come to the point where sexual compatibility is a reason now to end a relationship. And it's just another mountain that I'm scared that a lot of people who otherwise could have been together are maybe not now, because now sexual pleasure has infiltrated this happiness bubble that people like to create for themselves.
I think when you
couple that, right, because it's all about me. I will leave a relationship if I'm not happy. I will leave a relationship if it's not healthy. I will leave a relationship if the nigga's poor. I will leave a relationship XYZ. Now we're putting this sexual component on it, and which is okay, right, by itself. But now we have this agenda to, you know, keep the exploring going. Now we got fingers and thumbs and, you know, lithium ions,
Mike, can I
4D
you?
Batteries. We've got lubes. We've got anal. We've got all of these things.
How hard it is to have this conversation, you know, because we're having this conversation with people who don't even have sex with each other. So there's nothing to take personal here.
Sure.
But you guys are very triggered.
Sure. Well, no,
has there been one that's a good point? I never thought of that before. Has there been one?
Well, our style of conversation really is combative anyway.
Can we not group me and Mike together? I'm open to the toys. I'm open to being on top. I'm open to criticism.
You know, with the fentanyl addiction that people have right now. Listen. The biggest problem with fentanyl is that a lot of the young patients were just kids that were getting all four wisdom teeth pulled and started off with by getting an Oxycontin. And then because the sensation did not achieve itself off of the one Vicodin or the two Vicodin, this shit had to go all the way up to fentanyl.
That is comparing sex to drugs.
No. But
that
it's
is comparing
about,
sex to drugs.
But it is.
From a nervous system standpoint, they give off the same sort of feeling. Like once you come off of, you know, you don't come back down from that mountain without a pause in between. So my biggest concern is like, all right, what's going to happen when now it's me and I got my whole fucking Captain America utility belt worth of shit, because in order to please my wife, who will leave me if I don't please her, I need two strap-ons, a rose, a lube, some candles, and I got to take instruction. Or my whole marriage is done. My kids are going to live with their moms.
Or she just lies and has fake orgasms. Then you wonder why in 10 years the sex has gone completely down, that there's no interest at all.
And I think that's what I was going to say. When you sit up here and you're like, sexual incompatibility being the reason why people can't be together is so terrible. When you look at a relationship breaking up, and I want us to like change, one point would be to change how we look at like breakups. Mm-hmm. We didn't align. And that's okay. It's not a bad thing.
All I'm saying is that there was a time when the beauty of the sex was the actual permission that a woman would give you to enter her.
A time when women didn't have a voice in the conversation.
We didn't have a choice.
No. Y'all didn't even let me finish my sentence. The pinnacle of the sex was just the man's ability to have sex with you. Right? Now it's come to...
What the fuck?
Like,
are you dead ass?
No, I'm...
Do you really believe that's how we felt?
No, that's how it meant, though. What I'm saying
is... This is your first time.
No, you're not... Y'all are listening.
I'm on the stage with these men every fucking day.
Y'all not understanding what I'm saying. I'm saying for me as a man, my pinnacle was never orgasm, right? And I think we're at an orgasm or bust environment, right?
Was your pinnacle pleasuring the woman?
My pinnacle was just the opportunity to be in the position to pleasure a woman.
You were just happy to be there.
I was just happy to come over or have her come over, right? So by the time we got to the actual sex, it's just a continuation of that pleasure for the other party, where now I think that it's the conversation is sifted to personal gratification by any means and equipment necessary.
I
think that's dangerous.
I got to say.
Because do you feel that the conversation...
This orgasm fiending society we're in is going to turn up the sexual pleasure, but turn down the likelihood of repetitive gratification.
Mike, you're giving me All Lives Matter.
I'm fucking sweating. It's been a long hour, bro.
It's very exhausting when are in the position of power, and then the group who has less power is now advocating their needs. You're like,
why can't we go back to the way things were?
The orgasm gap.
For all the dates.
I've been on this space for 20 years. Mm-hmm. When I started, the orgasm gap was 3-1. For every one orgasm a woman had, men had 3 in partnered sexual situations. Yeah. The orgasm gap is now 2-1. That is huge. That decrease in disparity has been massive because we're voicing our needs.
Absolutely.
And you're like, why can't we just go back the way it was? Because it sucked for us. That's
why. And I don't think that these modern women don't want to do A, B, and C. I think that now that we're learning what we like, we're more open to say no, or I don't want that position, or I don't like doing these certain things. And just because you like it doesn't mean I have to do
it. Is this due to them being masturbating more, or is it more equipment but it's still penetrated sex? Like, I understand y'all are back up in the orgasm, or y'all doing the self-work mentally to just come more.
Let me ask you this question. Mentally. Let me ask you this question.
Yes, Dad.
Because I think we gotta differentiate. You were just talking about how relationship sex can be born or whatever the case may be.
It is, because it's redundant.
And here's what I'm saying. Yes. I think that there is a space where, you know, keeping things exciting. I think there's a space with trying new kinks and fantasies, improving the sex that you do have. Like, when you're in these casual situations, I'm not going to say the communication isn't as important, but you're so lust-filled and you got that, like, that new car smell that sometimes you can overlook the need to actually have these conversations because you're so fueled by that passion.
Absolutely.
But once you get in these relationships, I do think it's important to continue to have these conversations so you can keep that edge.
Yeah.
And when we're not doing that, then now you can creep into the relationship sex being mid because
facts.
You know, now it's just the same thing every single day. And
I will say people who like lots of new partners are not good in bed. They're not imaginative partners, that they require a new partner because they only have four acts that they go to and they get bored of the same
and
person.
It's new for the same it's new. To the different women.
Yes. Whereas if you're a seasoned lover and you have multiple toolkits, multiple options, multiple different rules that you can sit into, different ideas of foreplay. I had this beautiful conversation with this woman who talked about foreplay in terms of why don't you paint each other? Like, have canvases out where you're painting each
other. I've seen that.
Tell each other naughty stories. Play games with each other beforehand. Yes.
I think relationship sex can be improved by toys, are talking, are communicating, are being open and honest with each other.
Painting, food,
and orgasms can be improved without hardware or mechanicals. Just a better sense of self.
And I don't think we're going to agree on this. I think me and Mike going to agree to disagree.
No, because he's a nasty motherfucker, this guy.
Now, let me say this. The one thing that's always amazes me about us is that you have 6 to 8 different people with different perspectives. And we all feel equally as passionate about what we feel. And I think that's what makes it special is like, I don't get your toy thing. I don't get it, but I know he's convicted about it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then you'll have somebody that's convicted about, you know, a woman being submissive in a relationship, that traditional relationships are the only way for it to work.
Absolutely.
And then I feel differently. And so when we can all come together and actually have productive conversations, I think you can touch people, reach people, but at the very least, take people away from their problems for 3 hours.
I think you can also, right? We're so entertaining.
I know, right?
This is the light version, okay? This wasn't the tour version, but I also think it teaches people because maybe you have a cousin like Mike, or maybe you have a boyfriend like Ace, right? And so you learn how to have these conversations because I think that's why a lot of people don't get along, don't align, is because we're wanting to be right. You cannot be right. I cannot tell you what is true in your life. Your truth is yours. Yes. So I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'm going to say that ideology or that behavior is wrong for my life and how I align, right? And so I think that we help in ways of, you know, teaching people that it's okay to coexist with people that don't agree with you.
I agree.
All right, so case in point why the podcast is going on hiatus. I intended to come back and then have this wonderful chat with all of you, but the kids came home and then life got busy and I am going away on a 2-week work trip tomorrow. There's Jared being the best husband, helping out. And so all in all, for those of you who follow the podcast know, I never really took a maternity leave after my second born Zaya. I took like a week or two off and I was right back at it. And then some people I even see out now are like, wow, like it almost seems as if you started to work more once you had kids versus less. And I've just been reflecting on that a lot lately. And especially this summer when I went back to Toronto, I just really saw as my kids are getting older now, how much they require me more than ever, I think. They're more alert, they're more aware. And something that I had been saying a lot is,
I can't wait until my kids have kids because I want to be able to drop everything and really be there for them in this time because I know how much parents are in need, especially in the early years of kids' lives, having gone through it. And then I started to reflect on the fact of like, well, why am I waiting for my kids to have kids before I become the kind of present parent or grandparent that I want to be? You know, rather than saving for retirement, like, could I not take some of my savings now and then just take a little maternity leave, you know, pay myself, because that's a part of being an entrepreneur, right? Like, nobody is going to give you a, you know, living income. You have to save that, and I have saved it. So I don't know how long it's going to be. It might end up being 2 months, and then I figure that, oh, you know what, I can find a system and it's going to be great, and I can come back better and more focused, even having had December, because it's a slower month for work, and then, you know, January, February, but it also might be a year or five. I don't really know yet. I just know that I do have a desire to be a little bit more slower, more intentional with my time, to have less on my plate, to focus more on my family, and then on the kinds of projects and work that I think can be really impactful in moving me towards my ultimate dreams and goals. So, for example, I finished my master's literally tonight. Today was my last day to submit my capstone paper. And I believe in April that I'm going to start on my doctorate, my PsyD. So that will take me 5 or 6 years to complete. But just getting myself in the right headspace to that even, I feel like it deserves a little bit of a break. So that is why we're going on an indefinite hiatus for Lovers and Friends. And I want to make one thing clear. One, this is not a goodbye because my ass will be back here next week. We have like 6-7 more episodes left till the end of the year. So please expect that. Two, if I get really cool guests or I have a really amazing idea, I might just throw out episodes here and there just without the pressure of being weekly. And three, I'm still going to be making content. So I think that the consistency of podcasting and the magnitude of how much work it really takes to produce a 1-hour show. And those of you who follow the podcast probably already saw this coming as you started to see the production value of the podcast. Just kind of keep just chipping away little by little. If you go back to episode 1, which I highly suggest that you do, and then you listen to the episodes now, you're going to see, hear, and feel a difference. So if I have more capacity to do the kinds of shows that I was a little bit more proud of doing before, I definitely will pop back in and make some stuff. And in the meantime, short form content with just a little bit less pressure, as I take that pressure and I put it on myself to be a more present parent. So that's where it's at right now. Yeah, I'm like really melancholy because I'm leaving my kids also too for this work trip. It's going to be my first time away from Ryu for sure for this amount of time. And I think Zaya as well. So I feel just melancholy in general. But on this particular topic, I do feel very excited about the decision. I do feel very at peace with it. And it is something that we've been thinking about as a family for a bit. So it only makes sense. That's all. We'll talk next week. Regular podcast from now till January 1st. So it is see you next week. And then after that, it's just see you a lot, but just not as much. Bye, lovers. Bye, friends.
Lovers and friends. Lovers and friends. I'm going to take you on a trip, baby. I don't pretend. I said, lovers and friends. I'm going to hold you down to the end. I said, lovers and friends. Lovers and friends, and I said, lovers and friends, I'ma hold you down to the end, I said.